Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Worms, what's up, Nima?
Yo, this is Nima.
So, you got kidnapped yesterday by the central scrutinizer, and Ben Stone had to fill in.
Yes, I was taking some harsh blunts, man. It was totally fugly.
What'd you think of Ben's imitation of you?
I don't know. It was pretty chill.
Yeah, we tried. Well, he and I spent
That's
like
my imitation of Ben imitating me.
We spent like an hour prepping for that. I had him watch the Boondocks. I had him watch the airplane clip of June Cleaver going, "I speak jive." We looked at, and then we searched like hip hop slang. It's funny when you search hip hop slang on Google, the first two or three websites that come up are like university English department websites where they have like decoded
like
this
African American studies,
yes,
term papers,
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, like actual glossaries. And, you know, we were kind of going for like, we wanted it to be a little bit old school or actually outdated to how we think it would sound if the central scrutinizer tried to sound like Nemo.
Right. Right. Like if some geeky goon tried to be.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It was hilarious. I didn't listen to the whole thing yet, but that is my first priority when I start listening to podcasts today. I haven't started listening to podcasts yet today, except for that little clip, because I'm going to record podcasts first.
I am piping some hard blunts, yo. I'm dropping some fugly beats.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
It was fun, man. We had a lot of fun.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah. And we didn't tell anybody that Ben was going to be on. You had a family engagement, so we had Ben on, and I didn't tell anybody. I just said it's going to be a very special episode, you know, like an after school special. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even like when we were sound checking and stuff, like we sound checked before we went live on the stream, but you know, just to make sure he was there, I was like, okay, Nima, clear your throat, and he'd be like, and then we got John, and it kind of progressed to where like I figured out it wasn't Nima, and I was like, where's Nima? And he's like, Nima's safe.
He's with us. Don't worry. Bring $100,000 in unmarked bills to Langley, Virginia.
Unmarked gold. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was real fun.
Yeah.
And
good
let's
times.
See.
Yeah, I had family engagement. It was Christmas 1 of 3, so third through the whole thing. So thank God.
Oh, here's the sleigh bell sound. I'll send this to you. Listen.
Ah,
Ben Quaker sent you some fugly beats.
Yeah. Gonna use that in the new song, "A Gun for Everyone."
Wow.
What was the alternate title you had for it?
Oh, "Peace on Earth and a Gun for Every Child."
A gun for every child. Okay.
I think you should use that line in
it too.
Wasn't
gonna be a Christmas themed song at all, but Michael was like, "Put some sleigh bells in the chorus," and I was like, "Yeah, that's a good idea. We could put out a video before Christmas time." And sandwich between Christmas and all the gun control insanity, it might be a nice time to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
But I had the idea for the concept and song and the beat for it like months and months ago. So, but yeah, man, those sleigh bells sound good. Like the other sleigh bells you sent me sounded like they had some kid with Down syndrome kicking around.
Wait, which sleigh bell sounded good?
The ones you just played me.
Okay, well, I'm sending them to you with the note and CCing Ben.
Yeah.
And said, here's some fugly beats from Ben Stone.
Yeah. Yeah. Those aren't fugly. Those are clean. The other ones you sent me were fugly. They sounded like...
No, man. You're so out of it. Fugly's good. Like, fat is good. Fugly's the new fat. Don't you know, man? Hip hop. You went away for a day and hip-hop slang updated.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Speak up, man. Speak up. It's hard. It's rare that I have to tell you to speak up. You're usually, man, furthermore, the government. Well, we didn't start talking about the government yet. You're still mellow.
Fugly. Okay.
Okay, so we got a $250 donation from Michael LeCompte yesterday, and Ben Stone got $250 donation from Michael LeCompte, and Ben Stone got a donation from him too, and we're kind of blown away by it, and we wrote him and said thanks and worms, and he said, yeah, I'm drinking Christmas wine, and I love converting my money to liberty, and whatever he's drinking, I wish everyone else were drinking it this Christmas too.
Converting his money to liberty. I love that more than Christmas wine, man. Yeah, good idea.
Yep. He said he's awesome. a wine anarchist, which is a wine aficionado anarchist, I guess.
Yeah. Karen DeCoster's kind of like that. She loves her wine, and she's always talking about this wine called Anarchy when she writes her blog posts.
Well, I'm a wine anarchist, but I spell it W-I-N-E.
Because you like to whine.
I like to whine. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's kind of mind-blowing donation. I mean, that's like...
Yeah.
That's like the donations we should be getting all the time. That's like the kind of donations that, like...
That Adam Curry gets.
Adam Curry gets, or, you know, Obama gets. Well, he gets that if you add about 4 zeros to it. But, you know, the Christmas spirit is high in the Fiends. We've gotten a bunch of donations that probably total about $400 in the past week or so.
It's strange because you're always talking about how much you hate Christmas. But I guess you say Christmas sucks because people are buying cheap Chinese crap instead of donating and converting their money into liberty.
Like, well, I think the ad that I made touched some souls with
touched
some, you
people
know,
in all touch, the wrong place, all in the right all places, the
special places. Yeah, I think you know, because it was a kind of like Christmas sucks ad that like wasn't heavy and wasn't Christmas, you know, like a lot of anti Christmas stuff where they kill Santa or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, ours was lighthearted and it was kind of like it was exactly how I felt about Christmas, and it was very much like
nice.
You know, why just rotely go through this list giving this stuff to all these people who won't really appreciate it, and they're all status anyway, so give the money to the Fiends. And apparently it worked, and I'm going to run that every Christmas, you know, starting December 1st every year that we have a cast, because it works and it's funny.
Yeah, it does.
So give us, it's funny. So give us money. Works and it's funny. So give us money.
Yeah, yeah. Although, you know, there is a lot of other things you can do for Christmas. I mean, donating to us is awesome. But I got some ammo so far on my first Christmas.
No, people should only donate. People should only donate to us. Well, if they give ammo to us, that's
to us. Although, right. That, as long as the to us is at the end of the statement, is all Michael cares about.
Yeah, yeah. It's really me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Grinch. I'm a Grinch. But don't mail me. Scrooge, don't mail me ammo.
You're only a Scrooge.
Only family members should give ammo, because sending ammo is kind of difficult until we get those digital printers hooked up to our computer, 3D printers.
Is anybody doing like 3D foundries or 3D printers that will do metal? Is anybody trying that yet?
Well, no. What you have to do is you print. I've talked about that. You can't do it. I've talked about the way it's done for modeling, even by gun companies like Smith & Wesson does this. They print something 3D in plastic, and then they make a mold of it in sand and then pour metal into it. So, which is actually very old technology. You know, they used to carve the thing out of wood or wax and then put it in the mold and do it. Now they just do it with a 3D printer.
Seems like it would be possible one day to have those two included and automated at the same time, though, right?
Yeah, well,
not anytime soon, but that could
happen. The thing is, the melting point of metal is so high, it'd be really hard to use it with any kind of printer.
Yeah.
Because it would melt whatever it's, you know, everything else in it would be melted. It's not needed yet, because it's not really needed to develop it, and it would be hard to develop it. It's not needed because you can easily print something in plastic and then make a reverse mold or a takeaway mold or a something mold.
Yeah. I guess I was getting a little fantastic there, a little Adam Kokekish.
Yeah. Kokeshish. I mean, that's how like big brass, you know, statues are made of presidents and war heroes. They make them out of clay and then they mold them in sand, in two halves of sand, and remove, you know, open the sand up, take the model out, or take the sculpture out and then close it up and pour brass into it and then just file off the rough edges.
Right. I was listening to this one of the Adam versus the Man shows, and it was him and Stefan Molyneux on, and Adam had Jeff Tucker on recently, and so he was on this kick that that what's the point of doing all this libertarian philosophy and talking about it all the time, because technology is going to free the world anyway, and there's no point in us doing this.
Really?
And Molyneux was like, yeah, and Molyneux was kind of like, well, you know, you got to have the philosophy behind it. You still got to have the principles, and you still got to – the state – Molyneux's other thing was, you know, the state also has all the technology and more
than
us.
I knew he'd say that, and he does understand that. I mean, he talked about that in the interview I did with him of, like, it's the first time in history where the technology has really – of the people has really almost been keeping up with the state.
Well, except in defense, which is, I think, where it matters. Because it's also one of the first times in history where the state – the state defense, or not defense, we'll call it offense. The state's weapons have vastly outpaced the average person's weapons orders of giant magnitude.
Well, but did you see the DIY armed drone video?
Oh, crap. I was supposed to watch that.
I don't even want to link that, but I'll talk about it.
Okay.
It's basically, there's this site. God, what's this called? It's called like Bad Ideas or something.
That sounds like a great site.
It's
hold my beer. You have to click hold my beer before you watch any of the videos.
Is that what it says?
No, I'm just
okay. It's called
around.
Dangerous Information is the YouTube channel. If you search dangerous information and citizen drone warfare, I mean, this is a site that like shows you how to pick locks and things like that. And it's not aimed at criminals. It's like people who think information should be free. And you know, if you know how to pick locks, you know how to design a lock that can't be picked as easily. So they do things like that. And they have they took a quadricopter drone, like, you know, it's a little helicopter with four things on it, and that they bought at a hobby store for, you know, $300 or something, radio controlled. Mm-hmm. And they mounted a paintball gun on it and then had a radio control for the paintball gun. And the guy describing it has, like, you know, a mask on, like has a bandana over his face and a hat and glasses, and you can't really see what he looks like. And
so it looks like a terrorist training video.
Yeah, it does. And they set up a bunch of man-shaped, man-sized targets in a field at a shooting range somewhere. And they went at it with this thing. And in very short time, like 20, 30 seconds, like 20 seconds, he put, you know, five shots of paintball into the, you know, the 10 ring, like the heart, not the 10 ring, but like probably a 5 or 6 inch ring over the heart of each of like four or five targets, just going from one to the other.
Wow.
Now, people argued in the comments a lot that with an actual gun, you'd be dealing with more recoil. But I would argue that with a 22 handgun, you wouldn't have all that much more recoil than you would, you know, with a paintball gun. And the thing was heavy, too. I mean, it had like you know, one of those kind of funnel magazines that holds the paintballs, and the paintballs are about an inch in diameter, you know, little plastic balls or wax balls or whatever, and gelatin balls, I think. And, you know, I mean, he added probably like 4 pounds of weight to the thing. So you could put a small 22 on it. And I would say that with proof of concept, and I wouldn't encourage anyone to do this, but, you know, for proof of concept, scientific DIY purposes, I think if you could have a 22 on it and fire it once before the thing flips and crashes, it would be a proof of concept.
Yeah, it would be. And hopefully we can get back to the point where we're at some kind of levelness with the playing field as far as the state, because, you know, a 22 is a 22 compared to what the state has, which is hellfire missiles that literally are like lightning bolts from afar.
Which is the name of this episode, which we're going to talk about.
We are.
Which is what a drone operator for the Air Force said he felt like while killing people with drone missiles was he felt like he was God throwing lightning bolts from afar. Hmm. 22. Well, first of all, I want to say that this quadricopter also had a video camera on it, so it wouldn't have to be in line of sight for his proof of concept. And it wasn't. You know, he was... it may have been, but he was watching through a video monitor doing this. Mm-hmm. And 22s are nothing to sneer at, man. I mean, it's kind of been, And I'm not encouraging anything. I'm talking about historical things. I'm talking about, you know, DIY scientific things of why can't we try things and not use them. And, you know, a 22 has long been the assassin's tool of choice. Because a silenced 22 is so quiet, you can do it, you know, in a crowded street and people, they hear something, mm-hmm. but they're not going to recognize it as a gun or be able to tell where it's coming from.
It's like farting in a mosh pit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying we should sneer at the 22. I'm just saying.
I mean, you like saw a shooter. You saw a shooter.
I saw a shooter. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He saved the little brown guy that looked like you from the CIA torture guys or the Blackwater torture guys with, you know, a kid's 22 with a little scope on it, mm-hmm. and using a soda bottle on the end as a silencer. And
right.
the guys didn't know what it was or where it was coming from. And our hero took out three or four of them, you know, from 100 yards on a boat.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more surgical robot. And humane, to borrow the parlance of modern warfare from the state, than a Hellfire missile. There's no accidentally destroying a whole household of children with a 122 bullet like you can with one Hellfire missile.
Yep. And 22s have long been used, you know, going back to like World War One for assassins. Basically, if you can hit somebody in the ear or in the eye, it goes into their brain and bounces around. And kills them. Yeah. Horrible, horrible things that people shouldn't do ever.
Yeah, totally.
And hitting something in the eye or the ear with a 22 at a distance is not a lot of people can do it.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be good as hell.
You got to be trained by the government to do it.
Well, the government is the only organization that has the inclination
that's that's professional enough to use this 22 to assassinate these bad people.
The opposite of professional, because like we said in another show, professional means it implies somebody's willing to pay you voluntarily for your services.
Yeah,
the government's the only organization that steals enough money to have a division of labor so huge that they can spend millions of dollars just training a core of people who do nothing but learn how to shoot all day for years.
And you know what I say to them? Grow a soul, son.
Grow a soul.
I saw that as the comment somewhere in something, and I searched it on the internet, and it was like completely unique. Like, this is the only guy who's ever said that. It was in some comments about.
That's kind of nice. Better than grow some balls is great too, but. Yeah,
no,
as a corollary.
Everyone says that. Grow some balls is like, you know, I mean, you could say that that's what the government thugs could say to you when you're criticizing them murdering people. But grow a soul, son. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're right. People do say that in reference to the government. But I think people who want the government to kill people are pussies. They have pussies and need to grow some balls. Their lips are like flopping around their thighs and stuff.
Which is interesting, because in that article about drones that we're going to link, it's a profile of two drone operators, one who flipped out and couldn't do it anymore and stopped doing it, and one who's still doing it and they didn't use her real name. I looked for the guy who gave up on it. I wanted to turn him on to the fiends, but
it says
he's on Facebook, but he's not. I imagine that when this article came out, a bunch of people told him he was a big pussy and, you know, damaging the government by criticizing the drone program he used to be in, and just went away.
Should we go ahead and move into talking about this titular article now?
Sure. It's in Der Spiegel, which is German for the mirror. I've actually read Der Spiegel as a newspaper in the morning with my coffee in Germany.
Oh,
it's the national.
Nice.
It's kind of like a national,
like USA Today.
Like? Yeah, but a little more New York, you know, with like the Wall Street Journal, but not as focused on economics, but more, you know how the Wall Street Journal has actual hard hitting articles and USA Today doesn't?
Yeah.
I can't really think of a corollary. There's not an American corollary.
Okay.
Which is, did you see the thing? You didn't see the thing on The Daily Show the other day. They went down, they sent what's the correspondent, the black guy's name? I forget his name.
Wyatt Cenac.
Yeah, they sent him down to Puerto Rico to interview. This is kind of mind-blowing. Puerto Rico's top show, not just top news show, but the top show in the country is a news show that's really hard-hitting, where they get like, you know, the governor on and say like, okay, why did you take bribes from X, Y, and Z? You know, like stuff they could never do in America.
Yeah, yeah.
But the person asking the questions is a puppet. And then they had Wyatt Cenac on to do it. And then they replaced Wyatt Cenac with a puppet that looked like he was from, what's the show they had with puppets on Comedy Central?
Crank Yankers.
Yeah, it looked like a Crank Yankers puppet of Wyatt Cenac, and they had him like trying to interview the president about drones or something, and like they actually got him in the White House press corps with those people, got the puppet in there, and then like threw the puppet out, like physically threw it out. It's pretty funny.
Nice. Oh God, I gotta watch that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Was the Puerto Rican puppet? Is he like the Mexican stereotypes on the Spanish channel in Arrested Development with like the freckles and the red hair?
It's,
like
it's a woman, and it's actually a woman inside a puppet costume, I think. But it's life size, but it's like, yeah, it looks like a Mexican game show. I mean, puppet. It's kind of, she's kind of like, she's probably about 50 years old and really busty and has way too much makeup on. She kind of looks like a sexy grandma puppet. It's pretty funny, man.
And she talks like this.
I mean, literally, like she talks like a parody of like Puerto Rican puppetry.
You,
I don't know.
Why you get so sleepy when you're on the job? It's no bueno.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's racist.
It looked racist. It looked like somebody's, you know, racist interpretation of Puerto Ricans, but it's their biggest selling show in the country.
Well,
it makes Meet the Press look like a snooze fest. It is. I watched Meet the Press the other day, which used to be, when I was a kid, it was like the most important news show, and it's been going for like 40 years. But the other day I was watching it on there, and it was just a bunch of Democrats talking about why we need to outlaw guns.
Yeah, man, it's the most important news show for the establishment to tell you what the establishment wants to have happen.
I mean, anything that takes Dianne Feinstein seriously is not news.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't that the show where they had Ron Paul on and basically harangued him for his quote unquote theory that that, you know, blowback exists and helped the war on terror, or not helped the war on terror, but is one of the reasons why terrorists try to attack American targets?
Did you see the Libertarian ANCAP Austrian drinking game?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's this. I might use it for the image today. It's basically, you take a drink when someone says you lack empirical evidence, you hate poor people, property is theft, inflation isn't a problem, or without government regulations, we'd have poisoned food and air and water. You take a shot when someone says you agree to the social contract, World War II ended the Depression, free markets caused the 08 financial crisis, everybody benefits from programs X, Y, and Z. Programs X, Y, and Z exist, thus they must be successful, or uses the phrase wage slavery. And you chug when someone says corporations would take over, who would build the roads, government creates wealth, move to Somalia, Paul Krugman has a Nobel Prize, where's yours, and there's not enough gold in the world or there's not enough gold in the world to make it a primary currency.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. So where do you play it with that? Like Christmas party with your other status friends?
You'd get drunk. You'd get alcohol poisoning if you played this room full of status, man.
You would.
They do it. They do it intentionally. They just kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, being at a family holiday party, that's not a family that's my own. Like it's my married into family. It's my in-laws. I did notice something about American culture and maybe why we don't really discuss philosophy and ideas as much. It seemed like every time something came up that was kind of controversial, you know, like there was some Dallas Cowboy football player who was drunk, had a DUI, and once he could drive again, he got in a wreck, and his friend, who related to the team somehow, I'm not up on news on this, also died, and somehow the guy was still on the field, like the guy who was driving the car and was drunk, but his friend died. And like somebody was calling him a murderer and this and that, and so we started to talk about that kind of concept of, you know, drunk driving and you know, well, if you got, I posited, if you got in a wreck and you weren't drunk and you killed somebody and it was just an accident, or you suck at driving, they never look at you with this criminal intent like they do if you were tipsy or buzzed or drunk. And we started to talk about it for a little bit, but immediately like some play happened on the football screen. And so all of a sudden everybody just started talking about football again. I feel like at holidays, football is what keeps people's minds off. It gives them that quick excuse to change
to not
the
murder
subject.
Each other like they do on Thanksgiving all the time.
But wouldn't that wouldn't be a good thing if we could sit there and discuss ideas instead of leaving them the arguments half argued or a few sentences, and then, oh, that was a great play. Or damn, do you see that hit? You know, I feel like football is great to watch, but it seems like, and if it weren't football, you know, it'd be something else. It'd be,
well, there's actually a phrase.
Did you see Britney's vagina or something?
There was
like
actually
that.
A phrase when I was a kid that I don't hear much anymore, which is that polite people don't discuss politics or religion at the dinner table.
Yeah, I hear that too, and I kind of get the concept because it's your family and you don't want to alienate them and you have to see them.
Well, I think it's something it's something that statists even say, like, you know, and religious people,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
we don't, totally. You know, we don't want that kind of stuff at the family dinner table. There's actually a really funny joke on that at the oatmeal has a thing about the difference between Thanksgiving as a kid and Thanksgiving as an adult. And you know, it shows him as a kid sitting at the kids' table and everyone's like, wee, and having fun. And over at the parents' table, they're like, I'll tell you what's wrong with this country. It's the Democrats. No, you're wrong. It's the Republicans. And then it shows him as an adult at that table and they're still having the same argument about Democrats and Republicans. And he's like looking wistfully over at the child's table and they're all having fun. He's wishing he was there.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, what they would say is, oh, you know, it's not the time and the place. It's Christmas dinner. It's holiday dinner. Let's just love each other and eat food. But I kind of feel like as a society, do we have a time and a place?
Well, you know, I've added a new category on the blog. It's called Too Soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question mark and it's a joke. It's for like for my discussion of saying my blog post about saying that school shootings are the state's fault. You know, one of the tags I gave it, one of the categories I gave it was too soon, because people always say that. And it's actually the Daily Show did a thing on that. They're like, when's the time to do it? And they actually showed this news clip of recently. It was like, and recently in New York City, there was a 27-hour period with no muggings, you know, no murders, no killings, no shootings, no stabbings. And John Stewart is like, that's when they should have done it. And I'm thinking there was aggression during that period. It's New York City. There were cops arresting people. That's aggression.
There were people
taxes.
Paying sales tax when they were at the store. That's aggression.
Yep. Let's take a little break here and sell some stuff.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
The Bad Quaker staff has discovered how easy it is to get everything you need for the holidays at Amazon. Everything from the coolest decorations to hangover remedies, and everything from the latest movies and music to poop stain remover. If you follow the Amazon link at badquaker.com, Amazon will give badquaker.com a tiny portion of the purchase. It won't cost you any extra, but you will be supporting this podcast. Thank you.
Roland.
Yeah. So I was thinking, though, I mean, when is the time and place? And I don't feel like we really have that as a society, because It's always impolite. It's always something you're not supposed to do. And the forums that we do have, I feel like, are all only with people that that mostly agree with you. Or it's so anonymized and it's on Facebook that people just end up getting into bitch fest where they call each other misses and ask if they went to retard school. I was talking about myself. That's why I picked something I said. Yeah. So I'm not hating on other people. So I don't know. I feel like there's a big lack there. And I feel like that's kind of important, right? Because it ends up that the only topics that people feel safe discussing are these very safe pop culture things like celebrity gossip and sports.
Which I really don't understand how society as a thing has so much interest in that. And I don't know. People's priorities are really kind of mind-blowing to me. I'm a big fan of this. There's this zine, this like underground newspaper kind of thing in Casper. Bedlam Publishing is the website. Bedlam Publishing. And the guy's an ANCAP, but like he just kind of points out the stupidity of everybody. And his writing kind of reminds me of Jim Goad. And I think I'm going to have him at least come on the Sunday show as a call sometime and discuss things. He's really – I like his thing. It's just pointing out the stupidity of everybody, and he does it really well.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So check out BedlamPublishing.com.
Before we got off on one of our conniacal concentric circle tangents there, we were going to talk about this Der Spiegel article. Am I pronouncing that Germanically enough?
Canonical.
All right, DJ Canonical, you win me. So I got one thing
really quick. It's German and it's good. You're like, all right.
Is it German?
Yeah, it's when we talked about Goering recently about what he said about, you know, how you keep a tyranny is you criticize people for criticizing the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We forgot to mention that where he said that. He said that at the Nuremberg trials.
Ah.
When he was being tried for crimes against humanity for being a Nazi. So, that's the excuse when they're pressed to the wall is either I was just following orders or, you know, you gotta quell the criticism of the military and you make the people look weak and anti-patriotic.
Right. And I guess there's a caveat that the Nuremberg trials weren't perfect and it was really the winning state rubbing the losing state's nose in its own shit.
It was.
But I think the concept of holding state authority accountable is something you can take out of Nuremberg and praise. And hopefully we can have a stateless Nuremberg one day.
Yeah, Nuremberg trials for drug warriors and everything else.
Which is another song we're working on. It's pretty much done except for some mixing. But I don't know if we'll have a video for that.
So now that the Germans are all good and don't ever do anything oppressive to their people, what does Der Spiegel say?
Der Spiegel. All right. And this is probably the
Der
most...
Der Spiegel. It's not Der Spiegel. It's not Der Abbey. It's Der. Der Spiegel.
Like dare to keep kids off of drugs and violence.
Yeah.
All right. So Der Spiegel wrote an article. I guess that's like the fifth time I've said that.
And, I keep interrupting. Dare to keep kids off drugs. One of the things they try to do is get kids into the military. Dare to keep kids off drugs and street violence so they can go do authorized violence.
They also glorify cops. Like I remember looking at the little comic book and the cops are like friendly and they're like the best looking characters and they're the heroes of the little comic book they give you or a little illustration book they give you with the DARE course. And the drug users, I mean, are all obviously junkies and look horrible. And
and they don't mention what Ben mentioned yesterday is the patent someone just filed on handcuffs that can deliver an electric shock and inject you with drugs.
Wow. Okay, so Der Spiegel, finally, if we've
I'll let you do it.
Up.
I'll let you. I won't interrupt. I won't think.
What'd you think of the article, man? Because it's an amazing article, and I was like, wow, we really needed to talk about this and discuss this. So it's not just something that I thought was great.
No, I loved it.
And it's great because It's the most personalized I've ever seen talking about the drone operators, because we always make fun of them and say they're fat and cowardly and lazy and sit in their little air-conditioned thing in Nevada with Cheeto-stained fingers pressing buttons that kill people. And they do that, and the article does show how they do it, but there's a person who's doing that. And one of the people here is actually named. It's Brandon Bryant. And he couldn't take it anymore. He actually fell into the military sort of by accident and realized he could get free education and all this money and that whole spiel that the recruiters give you. And so he ended up doing it, and he tested really well. So they put him in the drone program. And the first – I think it was the first day or one of his first days, he saw a group of soldiers, American soldiers in Iraq, get blown up by an IED. And he saw it, – it's called an eye, right? It's a circle. I guess the quote-unquote insurgents, the defenders, burned a tire in the concrete, because that's what you do to soften up the asphalt before you dig an IED into it. And so you can tell
– They do.
They do. The rhetorical you, if you were you. It's like in second person.
The right.
Like your book you wrote.
Yeah.
So the insurgents put an eye there. He could see an eye. Because they burned it and, you know, made it soft, stuck the bomb in there. The car was headed towards it, you know, a Humvee with American troops in it. And he couldn't say, he couldn't let them know anything because they were under radio silence. So he had to watch them from like a mile or so away, headed towards certain death, and couldn't say anything about it. And so that was like his first impression of what it was like to be a drone operator. To literally, it's like those TV shows where the train's coming at somebody and they're too stupid to move out of the way. And it's cheesy because like, oh, well, in real life, they would have just walked out of the way. It was like that.
Why couldn't he have droned the IED before they got there?
Well, that's the other thing. The other point that I felt we needed to get to is these operators, they don't choose when to press the kill button.
And they don't like the term drone because that suggests that the things are autonomous and don't have the brave button pushers behind it. And when they first started the drone program, they had a real hard time getting quote unquote pilots for it because it was really looked down on. Like, you know, that's not real soldiering. You're just pushing buttons. You're just playing video games. So they had to actually pull people out of retirement originally for it, like, you know, actual pilots. Right.
But I found it really interesting the two different reactions to this on high ordering you to press the button that kills people. The guy who gives his name, Bryant, he can't really take it anymore. Eventually, it wears on him and he thinks it's horrible. And what happens is okay, so here's a great example of it. Do you have the article pulled up? Let's go ahead and read this little interaction.
You go ahead and read it.
All right. Here we go.
You're on fire, man.
Okay. So I'm going to read this whole sort of a story of how it works. This is a moment when some people in Afghanistan are getting killed by an American in a thing. Okay, so
wait, did you say you're going to read the whole article?
No. I'm going to read this whole section that explains the moments when you're in that drone thing. So Bryant was one of them, a drone operator, and he remembers one incident very clearly when a Predator drone was circling in a figure eight pattern in the sky above Afghanistan, more than 10,000 miles away from where he was. There was a flat roofed house made of mud with a shed used to hold goats in the crosshairs. As Bryant recalls, when he received the order to fire, he pressed a button with his left hand and marked the roof with a laser. The pilot sitting next to him pressed the trigger on a joystick, causing the drone to launch a Hellfire missile. There were 16 seconds left till impact. These moments are like in slow motion, Bryant says. Images taken with an infrared camera attached to the drone appeared on his monitor, transmitted by satellite, with a 2 to 5 second time delay. With 7 seconds left to go, there was no one to be seen on the ground. Bryant could still have diverted the missile at that point. Then it was down to 3 seconds. Bryant felt as if he had to count each individual pixel on the monitor. Suddenly, a child walked around the corner, he says. Second zero was the moment in which Bryant's digital world collided with the real one in a village between Baglan and Mazar-e-Sharif. Bryant saw a flash on the screen, the explosion. Parts of the building collapsed. The child had disappeared. Bryant had a sick feeling in his stomach. Did we just kill a kid? He asked the man sitting next to him. Yeah, I guess that was a kid, the other pilot replied. Was that a kid? They typed into a chat window on the monitor. Then someone they didn't know answered. someone sitting in a military command center somewhere in the world who had observed their attack. No, that was a dog, the person wrote. They reviewed the scene on video. A dog on two legs, they questioned.
You know what that reminds me of? The Simpsons, where Homer sort of kidnaps Flanders and takes him to Vegas, and Flanders doesn't want to go because it's Sin City. The episode ends with both of them getting drunk and getting married to Hussies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great, yeah.
And there's a scene where Flanders is at a, you know, at the gaming table, and he's praying to God, like, is this a sin? Should I do this? I think I should stop. And this voice from this, like, camera above him that has a speaker in goes, keep gaming. Keep and he's like, gaming. What? What? And he says, keep gaming. What's that? It means keep gambling. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a dog.
It. Yeah. No,
the
that
central
was a dog.
Scrutinizer just types, that was a dog.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was
keep gaming. Keep gaming. Yeah.
This story was perfect for a Fiends cast. It has a central scrutinizer and drones. But yeah, yeah. And I thought that was very interesting.
And a Simpsons reference.
That the way it works is these operators, the people who actually push the buttons, they don't make the call. Some voice in their head, some central scrutinizer somewhere, tells them, kill that person, kill this person. The article goes on and it talks more about Bryant's experiences. And he basically says, you know, we would follow these people around for weeks. You know, we would just get an order. Hey, keep track of this guy. Keep gaming. Exactly. They never get a reason for why they're following this guy.
And they watch them being good parents. He said a lot of them were really good dads. You'd see them with their kids.
Yeah.
And
that
he
was
also
heartbreaking.
Said, and he also said that, that, in Afghanistan, it's so hot in the summer that a lot of people sleep on their roofs. So he'd actually see them making love with their wives. And it was like two infrared blobs becoming one.
Two infrared spots becoming one. Yeah. Yeah. He said, I got to know them until someone higher up in the chain of command gave me the order to shoot. And he says he felt remorse for the children whose fathers he was taking away because, like you said, he thought they were good daddies. I mean, think of that. And this is why we talk about drones so much, because they are going to be over America. There's going to be some guy just like this, and the person.
No, they are the buttons, over America. They're over my town.
But drones like this, these are Predator drones. These are Reaper drones. I mean, you don't have a Predator drone over Casper working for the gas
and
oil bureaucracy. Well, you might, but not as prevalent as somewhere like Afghanistan or Pakistan or Yemen. And I doubt the Air Force is running it. If it's over your town, it's the NSA or the CIA or something like that. And that's another good point to remember is this is all this guy's in the Air Force. This is an article about Air Force drone operators. The CIA, their information is a lot more secret. So we don't really know how they think of these things and what the experience is like for them. But at least here in the Air Force, we get a little bit more transparency. And we have this wonderful person who decided to quit because it just wore on him so much that he couldn't take it, because apparently he's not a sociopath and he just has too much of a conscience. And so he had to quit. Now, they contrast this with another woman who you said she was unnamed, but is she unnamed?
It says that her real name was covered by black tape.
Oh, that's right.
They use a fake name because she's still active.
Fake name. Okay, so her fake name then is Major Vanessa Meyer. Don't know if that's a real name or not. And for her, it's completely opposite. Like, she has drank the Kool-Aid, and to her, people are just seem to be a means to an end. You know, she's got a good job. She loves
it. Feeds her family.
Feeds her family. Feels like she's a good little professional. Feels respected by the community. Loves the work she does. She says the drones are great planes. And she says, you know, there's no time for feelings. When she's preparing for an attack, you know, she gets the basic physiological responses, the adrenaline and the fast heartbeat, but no emotional type responses. And she also buys this other cartoonish propaganda that she's doing some good for all those women in Afghanistan, and like it's some kind of women's lib or women's rights movement that they're killing these families for. She says she has two small kids and she wants to show them that mommy can get work and do a good job. She doesn't want to be like the women in Afghanistan she watched. So instead she kills the women, the kids, and the dads in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, there was a bit of like, those women are subjugated to their husband, so I'm doing them a favor by killing them and I'm liberating them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I read that wrong? I seemed to be what she was saying.
That seemed to be the impression. I mean, I don't think it's a direct, is it a direct quote? I think it's more of a paraphrase. Oh no, there is a direct quote. The women there are no warriors. I guess that's, it's kind of vague, but yeah, the author leads you to believe with paraphrases in the rest of the paragraph that she's doing them some kind of a favor. Now it doesn't look like it looks like she still likes her job. She wants to keep doing it and maybe get promotions and maybe even return to combat. So that seems like one type of response to having your overlord tell you to do these things, to tell you to press the button that kills these people you've been following every day. The other kind of response, which I think would be the human response, Mr. Brandon Bryant, who says it wore on him and he couldn't do it. And he decided the day he left was the day he walked into the cockpit, which is what they call this air-conditioned trailer. He walked into the cockpit and heard himself saying to his coworkers, "Hey, what motherfucker is going to die today?" And I guess at that point he realized, "I can't do this anymore. I'm not a monster like this," is what I assume went through his head. And I think you're right. Maybe he needs fiends in his life. Maybe he needs to know that there's another way of viewing the world. There's another worldview out there that actually jives with those natural human emotions you feel in your heart, with your conscience, that actually jives with natural law. It's called liberty, freedom, anarcho-capitalism, freedom fiendage, whatever you want to call it. But that's what you should embrace, because then you cannot feel guilty for quitting the army. Because I bet you're right. I bet there are people out there who call them a pussy or said, "Oh, you just can't take it. You're not a real warrior."
Yeah.
Did you have any other impressions of Der Spiegel?
No, man. I'm stealing time from the fiends.
Oh, okay. You're like, let Nima do his thing.
Yeah, I'm going to stop. You're doing so good.
I'm going to stop interrupting for a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I say go read the article for yourself. It's probably the best article I've read on drones, and it doesn't really take a stand, but I think the lesson is obvious when you read it, at least to me. But it's really good journalism, I think, for that fact that it doesn't seem to have a bias either which way. But I think if you're an intelligent person with a conscience, you kind of come away from it feeling like I did. And I know I'm biased and everybody is, so I don't know if that's true or not as far as truth goes, but at least that's the impression I got. Read it for yourself, write us back and tell us if you feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think we should go ahead and put that in the show notes today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess since we're on media, and I did miss listening to you and Ben the other day.
I missed it too. I missed you too.
do, okay. Did you guys? I'm assuming you discussed the school shooting, or are you guys avoiding that? Are we avoiding that?
No, we just talked about how Hillary Clinton is a robot.
No,
we talked about it extensively, actually, and I'm kind of done with it. If you got something to add, go ahead. I mean, I'm really trying to absolutely avoid the cliche that everybody in Liberty is jumping to, which is everyone's calling for gun control. That wouldn't have helped here. Blah, 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 blah. This kid was too, he basically was too young. He was breaking three laws before he pulled the trigger. I mean, he stole the guns. Mm-hmm. He was too young to legally own a handgun. And he went into a gun-free zone. So it's all just NRA 101. I don't even want to touch that. We were talking about the crocodile tears that Obama was crying about a child killer when he actually kills more children in a week, some weeks, than this guy killed. And we were talking about how we basically decided they weren't crocodile tears, and he's probably actually so disconnected that he actually probably heard about it and cried tears in private to his wife. He was probably very touched and hurt by what, he probably had real tears about it even in private, and that's because he's a sociopath and totally disconnected from the fact that he is a child murderer. And then we talked about the fact that Hillary Clinton fell down, pooter pants, got a concussion, pooter granny panties, and well, that was our part. We assumed that.
Well, robots can't poop, so she's not a robot.
Well, she's a human robot. She's like the robots in Westworld. So, okay. You know, we think Obama's real flesh and blood, but we think Hillary's a robot. And that's if you got more to add that's not been talked to death on all of the podcasts, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess they've all been talked to death. I don't know. I've been in my own little Christmas holiday world the past couple of days, but I guess the thing that struck me, and maybe people have said this before, was I saw the list, right? Like, everybody's been posting the list of all the victims on their Facebook pages and yada yada, and let's look at the victims and all that. And I guess what comes to my mind is that's a lot of people for so short a period of time, and I'm not getting into the conspiracy theories yet because I just don't know enough about
that.
Facts,
he was a Manchurian candidate created in Langley?
I'm not saying
that. I think
that.
It's possible. You know, well, there's one – I'm not saying it either, but there's one thing that kind of points to it is friends and family were interviewed and said, like, he disappeared for days, didn't show up at work, didn't show up at school. No one knew where he was. You know, maybe he got kidnapped and drugged and brainwashed. I don't know. I don't think the government did that in any particular case. In any particular case where there's a conspiracy theory about the government, it's generally lacking so much logic that I just go, okay, you are not convincing me. But yeah. The possibility that the government could and does things like that in general, absolutely. I mean, look at Operation Northwoods.
I guess it just seems really unnatural to me, and I don't know enough about the facts, and I wish they would do something like doesn't every school, especially in a town in Connecticut where everybody's super rich and they probably tax the hell out of people, every school have a network of video cameras? I mean, even the little podunk towns in like Prosser, Washington State.
How would that help?
It would help us know what happened. And they could release the video.
Us? Really?
Yes, us. People. Yeah.
People.
Everybody.
No, man. No, they lock down the press in situations like this. They have
the sheriff, and that's kind of my point.
They have the sheriff come out with 100 microphones sticking in his face like penises at an orgy.
And they control the narrative.
They control the narrative.
And that's exactly my point is why don't – if we really want to know what happened and if they really want to convince people of something, if the kid really did murder this many people in one fell swoop, why don't we review the play tape and be like, well, okay, this could have happened here. This is a way we could have prevented this.
See,
this door could have been
locked.
See,
here's my critique of this. I think your analysis of this is like saying, I don't believe in liberty because who would build the roads? I really do.
Why?
I think you're looking at the wrong thing. And it pains me to say that to Nima because Nima's usually 100% right.
A, you haven't let me finish, and B, I haven't really seen much of the facts. The point I was really trying to make was it seems like a very unnatural thing that one person could kill all these people. I mean, when does that happen in real life? Like, even in war, even the best, most decorated sniper, has he ever killed 30 people with a few guns, with nothing but guns? I mean, I'm talking about bullets.
In Vietnam, soldiers went into schools and just murdered everybody. It was pretty common. And some of them actually went to trial for it. And I don't know what happened. I think they got, you know, got it. Nothing really happened. Now, here's the problem. Everybody is asking, every article about it is saying, what happened? What was the motivation? What weapons were used? You know, and you would even understand what weapons are used is immaterial. I mean, of course you can kill 20 teenagers with two handguns in 5 minutes. I mean, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And it's horrible, and I don't even want to think about it. And they weren't kindergartners, they were first graders, but they're still saying they were kindergartners because it sounds worse. Every article coming out now is saying, what was his motivation? People want to know, what was he thinking? What happened? That's like saying who would build the roads. You got to look at the fact, I think, that the state causes this to happen by promising everyone a pony and encouraging mental disease in everything the state does. The guy was imitating the state, man. Most people that aren't just full on lovers of the state, which really is a small percentage of people. It's like 15-20% of people who just could never be convinced, buy the Kool-Aid, want to eat your face because you say we don't maybe need, you know, government unions. you know, the rest of the people That's like 20% of the people. Like 5% of the people are the people running the world. And like 1% of the people are libertarians, anarchists, anarcho-capitalists, people who don't buy the government Kool-Aid. So that's like 26% of the world. The rest of the world, the vast majority of the world, are people who, by the time they get to be 20, 25, 30, they feel like, in everything they do, they feel like somewhere somebody lied to me over and over and over, and they can't figure out who. And they don't place it on the state. They still vote. They don't place it on public school. They don't place it on the fact that they've been told their whole life, you can be anything you want to be if you put your mind to it and think good thoughts, which is what they teach in school. They teach everyone's a winner, comply, follow the government, get a good job, get married, do this, do that, and things will magically work out. Things will work out. They teach you that in school. They don't teach you any survival skills. They don't teach you how to balance a checkbook. They don't teach you how to get a job. They don't teach you how money really works. They don't teach you how the economy really works. And they just lie to you. And people get out, and around the age, somewhere between 20 and 30, people really get this vague, sense of somewhere someone lied to me. The 74% of the country feels this way, of any country, of the world. And most of them live a life of quiet desperation and watch American Idol and buy Christmas presents and deal with it. And 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of those 74% go hurt people in retaliation.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on here. And I proposed all this on a blog post, and people were evil to me about it. People were like, man, you're evil. And I'm like, everyone is saying, what happened? What are the facts? Why did he do this? And I'm telling you the truth, and you're telling me I'm evil. You're looking for something like, oh, did this principal fire him? Or did he go to this school and this principal? Or did his mother work there? And all this crap that has nothing to do, that is just who will build the roads crap. When I figured out the truth, and I did a blog post about it, and a bunch of statists and even a few non-statists just took me to task of like, too soon, or how dare you, or children died, how can you say this crap? So F the world, man. Most people don't know how things work, and even the genius, Nima Vedati, is looking in the wrong places on this.
Oh, don't tell me I'm looking in the wrong places. I was bringing up the conversation, but yes, your comments are brilliant, and you're right about that's where we need to be looking. Because the thing is, when I just heard you say that, is everything else is just details. It's not really the root. It's the leaves on the tree.
Exactly.
You know, it's like your doctor asking you, I don't know.
I used that analogy in the blog post.
How many red lights did you run into on your way to the doctor's office?
You didn't read the blog post, but I used an analogy like that in it. I said that asking that kind of questions is putting a Band-Aid on cancer. You know, oh, you've got cancer and you've got a skin lesion here. Let's put a Band-Aid on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not asking the right questions, and it's not striking at the root of the problem. I mean, I hate to say it, but the closest thing that anybody's saying to a solution to this is a really statist effed up answer that can be abused with tyranny, but it's the closest I've heard, which is we need more money for mental health services. That's a lot closer of an answer than what happened? What weapons were used? Why was he angry? You know, the guy had mental problems, and the answer isn't more government money for it, and more government money for it would be used for tyranny, not only because the money's stolen, but because they're basically saying we need to have an infrastructure to where if your kid draws a picture of, you know, a drone dropping a bomb, there's something wrong with him, and we need to put him into therapy and drug him and make sure he can never get a weapon.
Right. Yeah, that may be closer, but I still don't think it even hits the dartboard.
It doesn't.
Because
but it's in the right direction. Everybody else is, you know, throwing darts completely in the opposite yard. And at nice. Least
they're throwing
least,
lawn darts.
At least that's hitting on the right wall.
Yeah. But the reason I don't think it hits the dartboard is because I feel like government mental health services exacerbate the problem. There's a blog post I read. It's called from a girl called the Anarchist Soccer Mom. I don't really know what
I hate her. I hate her. And we got to break, but let's come back.
I was just going to caveat that, but we'll come back with more of her. I'm not saying I'm digging her. I was going to explain something about her article, but
she's not an anarchist. She's not an anarchist.
She's not.
All right.
But we'll come back.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Okay, Anarchist Soccer Mom, I like the name of it, and I like her tagline, her tongue-in-cheek tagline. The revolution begins next Tuesday after soccer practice. I read one blog post by her, and I was like, this lady is really doing a disservice to her kid. She did a blog post about how her kid, who looks, and she has a picture of the kid, she changed the name, but she used a real picture of him, and he looks about 8. And she says he may have mental problems. He could be the next guy who grows up and shoots up a bunch of schools. That lady is saying, that lady is saying, government, please come take my kid away from me.
She is. And no, she literally says that. He threatens to kill himself. And so she takes him to a government place and they tell her the only thing that they can do for him is put him in jail. And so she's like, well, I guess I have to do that for now.
Yeah.
And also she alludes to the fact that he's been going through all these tests and getting all these kinds of things, like the school telling them this and that and trying all these different things. But it's all things that the state system has told her to do. And to me, reading it, I got the impression that what the kid really hates more than anything is being poked and prodded by these state functionaries.
I don't
think in these Kafka-esque institutions that the kid
An 8-year-old can really be determined to be a threat. I really don't.
Yeah,
I think she's projecting. And I mean, she's doing something that like even the government wouldn't let someone else do. Post a picture of a kid and say this kid has mental problems. That would be illegal. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say a kid's her property. She can do it. But I think it's a real wrong.
I think you're wrong when you say the kid's your property.
Well, no. But a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that the parent should be able to do that. I think that's really violating that kid's rights because that kid is going to be branded from her doing that. I think that lady is I don't want to say bad mother, but I'm going to say she is really, really, really doing a disservice to her kid and to herself by making that all public and showing a picture of that kid. That's just reprehensible, man.
Yeah.
And it's giving anarchists a bad name. I don't like her and I will publicly shun her.
Yeah, I got that same impression from her, and the reason I brought this up and I wanted to bring up this blog post is because you're saying, well, people maybe are hitting the same wall, not the dartboard, when they say something about, more healthcare resources, more mental health resources, which is kind of the point she makes is, hey, right now all we can do is send my crazy kid to jail. Why can't we figure something else out?
Send my 8-year-old to jail.
Yeah. But it seems like what she's calling for is for the state to do something like that.
Anarchist, man. Ugh.
Well, also in the blog post, her like cartoonish picture of herself is her holding a baby in her right arm and a soccer ball in the left arm, wearing an I Love Shay shirt that's red and in a beret with a red star on it.
Oh, my God.
What?
So man, I think she's that sounds like a COINTELPRO agent trying to discredit anarchy to me. I mean, it probably maybe. Isn't. It's probably just someone who's really, really uninformed.
Well, that's what I think. But I don't know, because I was curious. So I looked through her her older post just for this month, and the post before that is called Semper Fi.
It's about how great it is to be the
Yeah, it's what it means to be the daughter of a Marine. And the last line is, you love America anyway. And she goes into, I guess, some kind of Marine Latin. Dulce et decorum est pro patria.
You know, she should just change the name of it to Revolutionary Soccer Mom, and then everything would be perfect and fit and work. She should.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm going to link her so she finds this. I want her to hear this.
Good.
Yeah, so I got some agendas if we're done with this.
I guess the only other thing is I did want to say there is one mainstream solution, or not solution, but there's one mainstream idea out there. On USA Today, you know, they did a whole boilerplate thing that was very common, very not good. It was the whole, well, we could do some things like, you know, high-capacity magazine bans and more background checks and yada, yada, yada. But they did have a link at the top that said, you know, an opposing view. It was also written for USA Today. And it was some law professor arguing for the banning of no gun zones or gun free zones, which I thought, you know, yeah, it's kind of common. But I thought that that's good that that's out there, that mainstream, that we can talk about that and say, hey, maybe getting rid of the gun free zones is one easy thing government could do like that. Just
so. Yeah, I mean,
gun free zones are outlawed now.
This is NRA 101, and you're talking about banning something as a solution, but it is a conversation.
Well, it's not banning something as a solution. It's banning a government action, which
isn't it legal in Texas for a teacher with a concealed carry permit to pack? Or was that just something proposed?
I think that might be proposed. I'm not sure. It could be. But I think the big debate in Texas was more about higher education. I don't know if it stretched to elementary.
See, and I still
and
say
like
that's
that.
Looking at the wrong thing, because I think the thing is adding more gun positive education to where teachers wouldn't say, first of all, get rid of the public schools.
Yeah,
secondly, get rid of the kind of education to where people think gun, I wouldn't carry a gun, I'm around children. And, you know, I really liked one state solution I saw. If you're going to go with state solutions, is there's a picture floating around now in response to this of we should do it the way they do it in Israel. And it shows
the teacher with the automatic weapon on the busload of kids.
Well, have you seen one? This is different from what I'm saying. Are you guessing?
I've seen one like that, yeah.
Okay, this one is a group of kids at a zoo, and there's a woman standing next to them with an automatic weapon who I don't know if she's the teacher with those kids. She might just be, you know, in Israel, literally, people walk around, you know, people that are in the reserves walk around with automatic weapons, would really quell gun-free zones. Basically, there aren't gun-free zones, but it also kind of means like, the military is everywhere acting like cops and eyes and ears. So,
yeah. Well, I guess you're right. We should get to the root of it. But there's a root to that. I mean, you don't need a state solution necessarily. I'm saying that's good that people are getting in that direction. You know, this is in USA Today as a, hey, if you don't buy this bullshit article about, you know, banning high capacity magazines, here's the opposing view.
USA Today is
dumb. I know.
It's a really weird mix of statism and right wing and left wing. It's kind of like trying to appeal to the lowest common denominator
to
everybody.
It is.
And
it is.
The
but
reason
to see that in there and the root of it, fine. Go ahead.
Well, you've kind of been on vacation for a few days, and I've been down in the trenches dealing with probably 5 contacts an hour from a couple hundred people saying, here's my take on, and it's a bunch of who would build the road stuff. And I've literally been dealing with it since the morning it happened full time. You haven't, you know, and we talked about it for a large part of the cast yesterday. I know you're excited about it and I don't want to quell you, but it's kind of like, this is all everyone's talking about. And aren't the fiends about something different?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what we said we're going to do? Was not do what everyone else is doing, which is do whole episodes or whole segments on the news of the day that everyone's talking about. My blog post just slays everybody. Just go read it. Just go read school shootings. I blame the state. Go read that on the Fiends blog. It's It's short. It's like 200 words, and it is more than equal to and surpasses 2 million words that everyone else is saying. I nailed it. Okay. I already nailed it. I already did it. Okay. I already built the roads, man.
All right, cool.
I already built the roads. Let's talk about squirrels. Well, we had an agenda today, and I don't mean to quell you, man, but it's kind of like you don't understand that I've been dealing with this since it happened, and you've been like not even checking your email, and you've been out with family, and that's great, but I've been dealing with it. I've had every conversation we're saying. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
Let's move on, man. And really, the thing is, when there's a shooting, people talk about it, and it's not addressing the issue. It really isn't. And people just buzz in circles about it. And even people who are smart get stuck up in the 24/7 news cycle and get brainwashed by it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. I'm past that, man. And you know, they're going to
inoculate us from indoctrination.
Well, I want to read the Fiend's glossary and comment on it.
All right.
I want to go back and forth on it.
Okay. Let me get there.
Hang on a sec. Let's take a break.
All right.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So why they don't understand, you know, you look on one hand, somebody that supports gun control might support the end of prohibition. They might have that kind of cross understanding or misunderstanding on those issues, which is why Michael Dean's movie Guns and Weed is so brilliant, because it helps bring people together who, on one hand, you know, conservatives might be able to see that guns should be legal but not weed. A liberal might be able to see that weed should be legal but not guns. And it really shows pretty clearly that both of those groups are suffering from the same trauma, that is, that something they think is valuable, something they think is important, is being prohibited to some extent by the government. And that's really tragic.
It's true. I think that's it's a great movie. I've seen it, and I was like cracking up watching it. And I was sort of on the same, I was already like woken up before I watched it. But I think that it's genius to take these two different groups, and they're, you know, and Guns and Weed, it just sounds like, what is that?
And there's brilliant use of satire in that movie as well.
Exactly. So prohibition isn't going to solve your problem. It's not, prohibition of guns is not going to end gun violence in the same way that prohibition of cannabis hasn't stopped people from getting high. So you need to just let people be free, and that's why we're seeing a lot of the problems we're seeing. But I think that the reason on the media, as far as it, you know, tends to have an anti-gun bias, is a lot of the people that work in media come from academia. You know, they've been trained at government schools. They've learned the ropes, in a lot of cases, at a government college. And most of those places are very anti-weapons and very openly anti-weapons and preach that. More coming up. You can take control. Share your thoughts at 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
So that was a little bit from Free Talk Live. They talked about the Guns and Weed movie the other day, and I like that because they basically – you know, I mean, they're the daily news show, not the For the Ages audiobook that we make all the time, which is important, and it's important that they do it. So they talked for about an hour about these shootings, and I like that at one point they basically said, the solution is go watch Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Totally. And it's really accessible, too. I mean, it's not as macho libertarian flash, anarchy, and heroin in the vending machines, and every kid should have a gun. Like
that's the song you're working on. That's the song you're working on.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit more accessible to everybody. You know, your right-wing gun nut and your pot token Burning Man veteran. So, yeah, guns and weed, man. Buy it for Christmas.
Yeah. Somebody just sent me something that's kind of mind-blowing, one of our Canadian fans. And this week I'm sending out free Fiends buttons to everybody who's donated that we didn't send out to before, which is a bunch of Canadians, basically. I was like, I don't want to send stuff to Canada, but I did. I did today. So Mark Schisler sent us a photo of a Canadian cigarette pack. I'm sending it to you right now, that has pictures of eye surgery on it. It is the most graphic friggin' thing I think I've ever seen. And this is what you have to put up with in Canada to buy cigarettes.
Why eye surgery? Does tobacco do something to your eyes I didn't know about?
Smoking may increase your risk of age-related macular degeneration, a condition that can cause permanent vision loss. There is no effective treatment in most cases. There's a lot of kinds of cancer that cigarettes can cause, and this is one of the least common, but it's the most graphic picture. It's an eye held open looking like Alex in the end of Clockwork Orange with a doctor sticking a syringe into the eyeball. I'm not even going to post this, man. You can go search it if you want. But
That's what I was going to say. It looks more like anything to me is that scene in Clockwork Orange. Like, it looks like look at this now, because it's so hilarious because they're making you look at it as well.
I know.
Because they're forcing it to be on the cigarette box.
I know, man. It's hilarious.
Also, in Canada, there's 25 cigarettes in a pack. That's kind of cool.
They're probably $40 a pack, Canadian.
Ah, probably.
Did you see this picture someone sent of the Freedom Fiends podcast on their laptop with their gun next to it? And then DJ pointed out there's a spoon in the back. And someone said, is that a heroin spoon? Guns and spoons, the road to freedom. I guess they're like, guns and heroin. I'm a true anarchist. It's probably just his soup spoon for lunch, but I thought it was pretty funny. It's my desktop picture right now. Guns and spoons.
It doesn't look all burnt up, so.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, though. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Go Fiends.
So the Fiends glossary, I want to read it.
Is that a Gaunt revolver? What? Hold on. What revolver
know,
is that?
I know. It's. I think it's the English equivalent, the Webley. No, that's an American one. That's an old cowboy one.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Nagant ones are even weirder looking.
So sorry, just had a gun question, but go
let's
on.
Let's go to the Fiends glossary.
Glossary.
Yeah. And read it. And here's why I want to read it. Because it's important to future archaeologists who discover the Fiends BitTorrent stuff after the site is put down by a drone, droning whoever's hosting our Gator data. You know, they're not going to be able to decipher everything we say without the glossary. So I want to put it into an episode. So let's go ahead and...
It's our Rosetta Stone.
Yes. So let's take turns reading it.
And we'll discuss it a little bit, so you'll have a little bit more context if it's,
if you have a comment.
Posterity.
Yeah, and I want to apologize for Hammer and Nima. I really do. We talked off cast a bit, and I just want to be different, man. I don't want to be like the Alex Joneses of the day. I don't want to be like everyone else. And, you know,
there were some clever backhanded compliments, though. Like you're such a genius. How do you not get it? That's a pretty hilarious backhanded compliment.
It is. And Alex Jones
stop being such an idiot, genius.
Alex Jones is important because, you know, a lot of people's path to liberty is Ron Paul to Alex Jones to the Freedom Fiend. So without him, there'd be a bigger leap.
I think we're
closer to Ron Paul than we are to Alex Jones, but people seem to come from Ron Paul to Alex Jones to us.
Yeah. But because
Ron Paul's an anarchist now, and Alex Jones is still talking about who to vote for in 2016.
Is he really? I haven't listened to him in a long time, man.
You know who I'm going to back in 2016 is who's the guy who sang the song Day-O.
Harry Belafonte.
Harry Belafonte. is so evil, man. He recently did an open letter to Obama thing on some news program where he said that Obama should jail detractors.
Oh, wow.
That is so square, man. And I was like, Harry Belafonte still alive? Wow.
Yeah. I prefer Scott Horton's thing of Obama should be buried under the maximum security prison for war crimes.
Wow. Man, they're going to drone Scott before us. Although yesterday's cast was pretty drone-worthy, man. You should check it out.
Oh, I totally am. Like I said, that's first on my list.
We were railing on Obama and Romney and Hillary's granny pooing herself, getting the squirts into her granny panties.
Yeah. In my new song, I still call the entity of the state, the presidency, Obama.
Oh, Romney. Obama. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Because it rhymes better. And let's not give it up, right? Let's keep pounding home the point that it would have been the same shit if Romney was elected.
Well, I was kind of hoping Romney would get elected. And, you know, one reason I gave was that I think it would turn a few liberals anarchist. But I also think that if Romney was elected, people would start
right-wingers anarchist too, because they would have realized, hey, we still got all the same problems. Hopefully.
I think it would have increased the Fiends listenership too, because I think that a lot of liberals who hate us because we bitch about Obama would suddenly start listening, because we'd suddenly be bitching about, you know, Romney bombing Iran on his first day in office.
Yeah, don't you remember how anti-government the liberals sounded when Bush was in office?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like my friend
Where are those people?
My good friend from the Indian reservation, who has been so offended about secessionists, recently posted something that was like, it was on like one of the churches at on the reservation. It said, "America, love it or leave it," or something like that. You know, one of those things. And he was like, "This is what I say to all those people who are too afraid to take on the American challenges." And I was like, "You would have never in a million years posted something like that during the years between 2000 and 2008. You would never have said anything like that."
And, you know, Cindy Sheehan, I've always thought, is a loudmouth liberal. But I actually like that she's sticking to her guns. She's one of the few liberals that's screaming at Obama now for killing people.
Yeah. There are a few good ones.
Good
there
for her.
Just like in every group. But
so the Fiends Glossary.
Fiends Glossary. We'll start with AK, or simply K. AK-47 rifle. Well, it's kind of obvious. AKs are under $500. Are they still, though?
Yeah.
Around-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to wait after the 21st to buy new guns, because I bet the prices are kind of high right before the 21st, because people are stupid.
Christmas guns.
AKs are under... Well, no, because the end of the world bullshit. AKs are under $500. Anyone who has a flat-screen TV but not an AK has their priorities wrong.
I'm going to let you read a bunch of them. You're good at it.
Hold on. Pause. I have a flat screen TV, but it was a hand-me-down. Like, somebody gave it to me for free. I doubt I would have bought one on my own. So.
And a flat screen TV is actually a lot cheaper than an AK these days.
Nowadays,
you can buy one for like $200. Although you can buy an AK for about $275.
Now, are SKSs still a lot cheaper? Because the last time I checked, they were kind of raising in price, like close to an AK. So why?
I know Ben got a deal on like a bunch of them, and did things with them to where they can be gotten if needed later.
Oh, good. Good for Ben. All right, cool. So we'll go ahead and go on to the next one. The AK dance is the next entry in the glossary, and that is a celebration common in the Middle East whereby a crowd of people bounce on the ground in semi-unison, sing, yell, point their AK-47 rifles into the air, and sporadically fire their AKs into the
Yeah. They show it on the news whenever there's a revolution. They or, you know, like when they kill Gaddafi, when the CIA kills Gaddafi, they'll show foot. I don't know if they did. America helped. America actually found him with a drone and passed the information on. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, that was in that article that we just read from Der Spiegel.
Yep. They show news footage of it, of like, you know, people are dancing and celebrating in the streets because this tyrant is dead, and they show the AK dance.
Right. And that's not necessarily a racist Jack Berkman kind of thing, the reason we have that there.
It really happens, man.
It really happens. B, it's poor gun safety, so we'd like to point that out. C, I think it's a propaganda thing for the American government, the United States government, to make people think that these people are crazy people.
They show the same footage over and over and over and over. Right, I think that, like, you know, the CIA The CIA paid a bunch of actors in the 70s, and they probably redid it recently in high def. And I think they just show the same stuff over and over.
So I would call that a gov meme or a government meme that they use to scare you into things. All right. So do you want to read the next one? Anarchist. I can.
No, man. I'm smoking. You do it.
But you're
I wrote
the chief
them. You
anarchy
do.
Officer.
I wrote most of them. You do it.
All right.
I can delegate as chief anarchy officer. But you're also chief anarchy officer.
I'm co-chief anarchy officer.
Yeah.
All right. So anarchist, according to our glossary. Contrary to some people's beliefs, this does not mean a violent person who wants blood in the streets. It means a peaceful person who does not believe in any government. Michael and Nima are libertarians as well as anarchists. They are ANCAPs, i.e. anarcho-capitalists, not leftist anarchists.
Yep. And we wanted to have Nima debate a leftist anarchist and anarcho-syndicalist. So if there are anybody out there who knows any who are really smart about it and not, mm-hmm. you know, just reading the Wikipedia article, yep. We'd love to have you come on the Anarchy Gumbo and debate Nima. So write us at yep. talkback@freedomfiends.com if you know someone like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, here's something interesting on that same sort of line of thought. I was listening to somebody interviewing Anthony Gregory. I think it was Anthony Gregory. And he was talking about how, you know, sort of the way the history works out about these different terms and what they describe. Leftists kind of shared things with, you know, classical liberals and what are now called anarchists, I guess in the sense – or libertarians, I guess, in the sense of – what they wanted to have happen in the world, you know, like the individual and liberation of people, which then leads to, you know, making sure minority groups and different groups have the same rights as everybody else.
They still give lip service to that, liberals do, but it's in the guise of the government needs to demand exactly. that everyone has individual liberty, which is just right. like saying, I'm going to have sex to preserve virginity.
Yes. Well, that was his argument, is that's where the diversion happens, is yeah, we think that people should be equal and all that kind of good stuff, you know, good heartwarming stuff, but people who tended to become leftists and progressives, they had a different means to that end. They thought it was okay to use any means necessary to achieve those ends, which in the end kept those ends from being achieved, and then you also have the horrible means. So it's a lose-lose situation, whereas those who became libertarians and anarchists and anarcho-capitalists, those are the ends. We still have the same – we want, you know, everybody to be considered an individual and equal in terms of their moral equivalent, but we don't think that you can ruin morality and do horrible things to get to a world like that.
Yeah. Right. And I'm very into the digressions here because they add to it, but this is going to be a two-parter thing. We're not going to have time to
all right.
to get this all done, well, and we're going to go sell some things right now and then come back and do the last segment all on this and then continue it on another cast. All
right? Okay.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned.
Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
So what's next? I like the next one.
All right, so next. This is all Michael. Beast Lick, Wyoming. This is the Fiends version of Bumfuck Egypt. You've heard that one, right? BFE. Mm-hmm. That's a very popular one. So ours is Beast Lick, Wyoming, or BLW. So yeah, that's basically, you know, just whenever we're talking in general terms about something or want to have an example or a thought experiment or an imagination land, often Michael will drop Beast Lick, Wyoming. It's kind of funny.
And there's actually a place like that. It's Metitzi, Wyoming. And we talked about that yesterday because that guy from Bedlam Publishing posted something on his Facebook where he said, "Now I've seen everything. I was in Metitzi." There's a population of 320, at an old cowboy bar, and I saw two leathery old Wyoming cowboys talking at the bar about the drama they'd witnessed on Facebook that day.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, man. Okay, so next, bomb.
You just said bomb on the internet. We're going to get in trouble.
I said bomb on the internet. I can't say bomb on the internet. No, we can when we're talking about Michael's band. Do you want to read Bomb since that was you? Or
no,
do you want me to read
really,
it? You digress.
I'm watching Squirrels. You're doing great.
Watching Squirrels. All right. Bomb. That's Michael's old band. It started in 1986. It broke up in 1993. So that's a pretty good run for a band, right? What, 7 years? All right. Bomb was popular in the underground punk scene, toured the world.
That's 9 years, man.
In the world. Is that 4 plus 7? 4 plus 3 is 7, man. But, okay.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, so, you know, I was in a band, which means I'm not very good at math.
All right. Anyway, Bomb toured the world. They did 3 records on indie labels, 1 record on Warner / Reprise, then imploded. There's a link to that Bomb music or some Bomb music, and there's also a video if you go actually read the glossary. Although I guess you can't if this audio glossary is being used for its intended purposes. But, you know, if it is being used for its intended purposes and we have been droned and you're listening to this post some kind of apocalypse.
Well, actually, a couple of the Bomb records are in the torrent. So if you are
bringing up. Yep.
If you're the archaeologist getting, you know, someone comes into your office in LibPair in this privately funded research group that you're working for and hands you this disc. I don't even know what media things will be on in. It'll probably just, they'll just come in and blink at you.
It'll
come
be
from
a crystal that'll light up
yeah.
and have like the voice of God coming out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It'll be the grain size of a grain of sand and have hundreds of terabytes of information on it. Yeah. So yes, there's
and you will
there.
Ingest it and then experience it through your brain.
Yes.
But there are torrented, or you can get Bomb records through torrents, and there are some that are up that, are actually not available anywhere else. Is that right? Or at least one of them like that?
Most of the Bomb stuff is really, really out of print. I don't think any of it's still in. Well, actually, the stuff that's on Boner Records, that guy sells MP3s on iTunes. And the stuff that's on Warner Brothers, that guy sells stuff on iTunes. But the Love Sucker DVD CD, 1,000 were pressed, and that company went out of business. The first Bomb record, to Elvis in Hell, we pressed 1,000 copies on vinyl and it went out of print in like 1987. So yeah, a lot of it is only available on Fiend torrents.
God, you used to have to be so much more motivated to make music and put it out there, huh? Now you just upload a file from the computer in your closet that you
made. When I was your age, we had to walk both ways uphill.
Press vinyl? God, I can't even imagine what that'd be like.
Oh, we pressed vinyl. We got it done in Canada, and we paid like $2 per, you know, we paid like $2,000. I actually borrowed $800 from Jack Dean, and then we paid him back when we got signed to Warner Brothers. and then I, you know, did paid drug research, and we all worked construction and bike messenger jobs and bartender jobs to raise the rest. So we paid this company in Canada to do it. And when we got this like call from the airport and said, yeah, we got this shipment here of records from Canada for you, but you got to come down here and pay $300 customs fee. So the government, like the day, and we didn't have them for our record release party because of it. Like we had to borrow $300 and it took a few days. So the government kept the first Bomb record from coming out on time.
FTG, homie. All right. Speaking of the government and FEG, here we have the Central Scrutinizer next on the Fiends Glossary at freedomfiends.com/glossary -4-freedom-.
You know, now if you had 1,000 bomb records shipped from Canada, they'd blow them up. They'd blow them up and charge you for
they'd have the bomb doing squad that. Send yeah. you a bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bill for everybody's overtime.
Yeah.
All right. So central scrutinizer. That equals any government's attempt to spy on its subjects' private communication, whether by internet, phone, or meeting on the street. It's a takeoff from Frank Zappa riff, where between songs on a record, he whispered and imitated someone called the central scrutinizer. A personification of the people who wanted to censor Frank's records, or our use of the central scrutinizer is to represent the entire state mechanism of immoral spying on and censorship of citizens, but personified as if it's one person whose full-time job is spying on the Freedom Fiends and listeners of the Fiends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you get to hear a lot in Fiends episodes. You hear,
this is the central scrutinizer.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if there's as many examples of spying on listeners of Fiends, though. Yeah. Do you call people in their spare time, in your spare time, and say, this is a central scrutinizer?
Yeah.
You should start doing that if you don't
this
already.
This is the central scrutinizer.
No. That voice should be for the central liberator. That sounds more godlike and relaxing.
I like this voice. Hi, I am the central liberator.
Right. No, the pitch shift makes it seem creepy. I like the echo or the delay for the nice, relaxing, you know. All right, so we'll move on. Yeah, that one. Or that's just reverb, but that's good too. So we got Christian Sharia up next on the glossary. It's a term Michael and Nima invented for the policies of some Christian conservative. I thought we took this one off.
Oh, well, we took it off, but we had to leave it. We retired it, but we have to leave it so people will it'll be the Rosetta Stone for the first 20 or 30 episodes where we used it.
Okay, good. So that's a good important thing to say before we read this. Christian Sharia, term Michael and Nima invented for the policies of some Christian conservatives who claim they are for small government and claim they respect the Constitution, but they also want to pass a bunch of silly laws that violate the Constitution and increase the size of government. It includes most members of what is commonly called the Tea Party: Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, Rush Limbaugh, Rick Perry, Bill O'Reilly, Sarah Palin. They all practice Christian Sharia, and it's therefore not... And is therefore not and they the Christian
are,
Sharian.
And they are Christian Sharians.
Oh, they are. Okay, got it. So other Christians who are not Christian Sharians include Judge Andrew Napolitano, Sheriff Richard Mack, Boston Tea Party. Michael and Nima invented the term Christian Sharia in 2010.
Ron Paul.
Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah, obviously Ron Paul. I kind of want to say Lou Rockwell. I feel like he's always having people on that are like Christian, and he kind of seems Catholic or something. I don't know what Lou Rockwell is, but he sometimes talks about religion, and he's very much not a Christian Sharian. Lawrence Vance is another really good one, who's so anti-war and is always calling out Christians on being pro-war and how ridiculous it is for them to be pro-war. So anyway, in 2012, it was first used in the lamestream media on CNN here, and there's a link to that. As of September 9th, 2012, we actually retired the term. The Fiends retired the use of the term Christian Sharia because it was insulting to both Christians and Muslims. It's kind of inaccurate. It's a gross generalization. We now call it religious statism, which kind of goes with our other thought that, you know, statism is kind of a religion, or it is indeed a religion or a belief system. Whereas, you know, it was kind of after I interviewed Will Coley, and I realized that Sharia for them, it wasn't an involuntary thing. And there was the way he described it and the way he reads it, force can't be involved, because if you force somebody into a pattern of behavior, it's not their true behavior. You know, you can't give them brownie points and a golden star for doing something you force them to do. So because of that, we didn't think Sharia was a good term for this. So that's one of the reasons we retired it. We'll go ahead and move on to Chromed Robot Turd. It's coined by Michael.
Chromed Robot Turd.
First
Chromed
came out robot in ads. Turd. In I think the first batch of ads we did once we got on LRN, right? And that Chromed Robot Turd is any mobile device or smartphone that people use to listen to the Freedom Fiends. Oh. Although nowadays, man, they're all like they have condoms on them, right? Like it's faux pas to have a chromed robot turd without some thick OtterBox on top of it.
OtterBox?
Yeah, that sounds kind of dirty too, doesn't it?
What is an OtterBox? I don't know that term.
You know what an OtterBox is? Oh, so it's probably one of the most popular companies that makes iPhone covers, and I think they also – maybe they make it for Android phones too. But it's like this silicone or this really nice, supple rubber-type plastic you put over your phone to protect it. So if you drop it, the screen might not crack. It might not break. You know, it's an insurance policy for your phone, for the physical manifestation of your chromed robot turd.
Is it? Why is it called an OtterBox? Because it's like an otter skin.
That's the name of the company. Is OtterBox? I don't know why it's called that, but that's the people who made the company decided to call it OtterBox. I guess because it's. I don't know, man. Have you ever petted an otter? Maybe their skin is really rubbery or something.
Probably.
Yeah. They eat iPhones on their bellies. So, Compliacin is the next entry. Compliacin. That's Michael's name for an imaginary pharmaceutical drug for quote-unquote treating the quote-unquote recognized quote-unquote illnesses. Illness, oppositional defiant disorder, a.k.a. libertarian flu or libertitis, i.e. inflammation of the liberty. Compliacin would likely be Ritalin mixed with Thorazine. Thorazine is known as the chemical straitjacket and the chemical lobotomy. And Compliacin comes to fame from our ad we did for Compliacin from a fictional company called Pilfer, i.e. we have a pill for everything. Great ad, and you've probably heard it before. So that is what Compliacin means whenever we talk about it. Speaking of oppositional defiant disorder, and to bring it back to something we mentioned earlier in the cast, that anarchist soccer mom mentioned that as something some state goon told her her son might have. She said, well, officials have told us all sorts of things, like he may have oppositional defiant disorder, ADD spectrum, or, you know, autism spectrum, or ADD, or intermittent explosive disorder. And then she took her own son to jail. All right, Constitution Humper, that's our next entry. That's someone who thinks the Constitution of the United States is handed down from God and is infallible. It's also anyone who thinks that documents grant rights. Both ideas ignore the fact that the Constitution allows government, taxation, tyranny, and is a social contract that you did not sign. Bam. And I think it was probably a Ben Stone cast recently, I think, that he was talking about how Thomas Jefferson wasn't even around. He was like in France during the Constitutional Convention. And the people who wanted it hated the Articles of Confederation because they wanted a big centralized government. And they were very happy that people who were the more libertarian-leaning founding fathers like Jefferson and Patrick Henry wasn't in France, but he didn't want to touch this Constitutional Convention because he thought it was going to turn out with nothing but tyranny. So he avoided it. And the people who wanted this constitution, like Hamilton, etc., showed up early and already hammered out all the details of this horrible central state.
It's kind of like what they do now at like Republican conventions. They get there early with a plan on how to like screw everyone else.
Yeah. So if you're a Constitution hubber, go rethink it. Listen to some fiends. Listen to some Ben Stone. Read some revisionist histories on it. And realize that the Constitution wasn't some great Ten Commandments document handed down by God. No, it was the big government folks of the day getting together to figure out how they could make the government of the United States bigger than it already was.
That's so square.
Completely square. All right. Crazy Cat Spot. This is another great one. That's next on the list. Crazy Cat Spot. That's a place that most cats have on their body. It's usually on the spine near the tail. A lot of times you can find it by sort of rubbing them, you know, petting them and slowly scratching as you pet, and sometimes you'll find their crazy cat spot. If you scratch them lightly with the finger, the cat will begin to involuntarily lick the air. And we have a video link to this. Go ahead and watch that if you're reading this. If not, just imagine it in your brain. Michael read somewhere that it's a means for mother cats to get their kittens to nurse. So by licking a kitten at that point above the tail, it'll encourage them to go for a nipple, i.e. involuntarily their head will raise up and start licking and oscillating like an oscillating fan looking for a nipple. Michael and Nima use the term crazy cat spot as an analogy for how statists will allow any intrusion on everyone's liberties if it's presented under the guise of safety or think safety. Of the children. The mere mention of safety stimulates the statist crazy cat spot.
You know, I'll say this about the shooting that we said we weren't going to talk about in Connecticut.
Yeah.
It probably was one man acting alone, but if you were going to create an event that would make people go, okay, we can restrict guns, this would be it. You know, some guy walking into a school and shooting a bunch of first graders.
Crazy cat spot, safety, man. And you have seen that. If you have a Facebook page, you've seen how this has hit people's crazy cat spots. And there's other ways of moving that finger back and forth that help to stimulate crazy cat spot. Like terms like we must do something.
A bunch of celebrities have been saying we need to outlaw guns now. This has gone too far. And one was Patton Oswalt, who's I really like him, man. But
yeah,
I can't
he's
believe
a funny he's, comedian.
He's Why basically he like, gay? We need to outlaw all guns now.
What an idiot. What a fucking
we need to use government guns to outlaw guns now because the government's so trustworthy that only they should have guns.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems ridiculous. Once the knowledge is out there, there's no way of getting rid of guns. I mean, that's like saying we need to outlaw gravity now. This is just horrible. Old ladies fall down and hurt themselves
Cars
and we just
crash.
Can't have that anymore.
Yeah.
We need to outlaw the laws of physics. Let's just get rid of them.
You know, the next time someone
says outlaw death, how about we do that?
The next time someone says to you that libertarians want old ladies to starve, you should say statists want old ladies to get beat up. Because that's what cops do. They run into homes and beat. Mm-hmm. They run up into houses and beat old ladies up.
Statists want old ladies to be molested, i.e. TSA.
Yeah, and little kids.
Yeah. Speaking of statist, our next entry is dad spam. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's kind of caught on. A lot of people are using that phrase now.
Yeah. I'm well, it's funny because at holiday party yesterday, there was there were people talking back and forth about things they heard. And I looked at my wife and I'm like, was that from some dad spam that your grandma saw? Because it literally was like dad spam in live action.
I'm looking. I think I invented this term, and okay. I always think that. But I'm looking at. I searched dad spam in quotes on Google, and there's 5,400 results, and they're all from after like March 2011, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. you know when we put this up. So
well, you give the credit to the coinage to DJ, your wife.
Okay, she coined it, and then we started using it, and it took off.
Okay, so here's the definition. Dad spam is forwarded crap that old people who can barely use a computer email to everyone they know. Usual topics include heartfelt letter from a dying Marine, or proof that Obama is a secret Muslim, or things we said back in 1985.
Yes.
I read it as 85. Like, that was really, really a long time.
Because you don't even know what 1955 was. That's like,
I was alive, but I was still sucking on teats.
In 1955?
To get milk out of them.
You were alive in 1955?
85. I was alive in 1980. That's why I said 1985. But anyway, so another dad spam topic. Danger! You might die if blank. Like, fill that space in with anything. Like, I don't know.
I remember an early
Tide detergent.
An early one that went around was that people are going. This is how old it was. It was like from payphones, and I think some of the early dad spam I think came from things that people mailed to each other. Because one of the early ones
like chain
was,
letters.
Yeah, one of the early ones was about payphones, which don't really exist anymore in any capacity. Yeah. And if they do, they don't take coins. So, but this was, I remember getting dad spam in like 19, not dad spam, but it was for my uncle, my dad's sister's husband. It was that people are going around to pay phones and putting AIDS infected syringe tips in the coin return box.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, I remember
you might
that
die if you use a phone.
I remember that being a fear, like when I was a kid and trick or treating. Like, you know, you have to have your mom check your candy because it might
well, that's
be
actually something that people did, but
it.
They probably did it imitating pre-internet dad
some,
spam.
Some,
you know,
some pre-internet dad
like
spam.
The police said, "Oh my God, people could do this," and issued a statement, and then someone imitated it. know, that's literally terrorism. I mean, like telling people, that's to terrorize the public, telling people, you know,
to justify their own existence.
Well, it might not even be from police. I mean, a lot of people forwarded it, and who knows who wrote it, but go on.
So dad spams, usually easily debunked by a quick look at Snopes.com. I think I've seen that before with things like the Obama hand over the heart, and there was some other Obama thing. I forget what it was, but you actually look at Snopes, and it's like one of the top things that is completely a lie that has been most widely spread. So it's good to go to Snopes.com if you get dad spam, or just read it to laugh at it and realize that it is dad spam. Because dad spam is easy to spot, usually contains lots of capital letters, exclamation points, rows and rows of carrots pointing to the right, from being forwarded again and again and again by people who don't know that they can remove those marks. And it's always CC'd to everyone, never be CC'd. Dad spam is usually sent from an AOL or Yahoo account because that's what old people still have. Michael has a theory that all dad spam originates from a team of paid hacks at some right-wing organization, possibly either Accuracy in Media or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And then again, you credit DJ with coinage of the phrase.
Now, I think that this would be a good place to stop, and we'll pick it up in a future soon cast.
Okay, I'm down for that.
What was the last one? Dad spam, right? All right.
Dad spam. So next time we will start with dinosaur chewing its tail, and we've got a lot more to go, but we'll keep going on it. And if you have not become acquainted with the glossary and would like to get a jump on that, you can go ahead and study through that and read ahead in the Book of Fiend. And of course, if you're listening to this in the future, then please find the next file. They are numbered and cataloged for your for future reference.
That kind of reminded me of the old in grade school. They used to have records to teach people things, like vinyl records that would have talking lessons. You know, lessons of someone talking.
Please go to the next side.
Yeah, or something it would be like that. Please flip the record over, and then later they had them with cassettes. I had those in college.
Yeah,
please. You have reached the end of lesson one. Right, please turn the tape over.
And that's the only reason that makes sense to me is because I remember hearing that on cassette tapes. Because I was alive in the time of cassette tapes. And in fact, I played with them as a young child, making mixtapes and recordings and trying edits that were tape to tape or record to tape.
There was a punk rock compilation that my band Michael was on. Put out by DSI Records, which was Dark Self Image Records, in about 1985. And they did that on the tape. At the end of it, said, "You have reached the end of lesson one. Please turn the tape over." And, you know, I've always been kind of fascinated with the idea of distance learning. And I've kind of considered, like, what we do distance learning, which is why we say, have DJ at the beginning of each episode now saying, "Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series."
Yes.
Which is, you know, kind of a takeoff on, like, there used to be this stuff on public television that they called the Distance Learning Series. And it was kind of cool. They'd have, like, some professor, like, teaching a class with no one in the classroom. Or sometimes they even had a class, you know, and they'd be showing math stuff or computing stuff or, you know, just all sorts of stuff. And it was for people that didn't want to go to college or couldn't afford it or, you know, lived somewhere that was too far from a college, or, you know, were taking care of grandma and couldn't go to college, whatever. You could kind of go to college. I don't think it was, you know, I don't think you could get a certification for it, but you could learn college level stuff watching TV. And they don't have that anymore.
Yeah. And they don't? Are you sure? I guess I don't have public access or don't watch that kind of TV anymore.
Well, the public there's actually three public access stations in Wyoming, which is kind of amazing. But generally, they just show stuff about Wyoming culture and Wyoming life, like the Cowboy Poetry Slam and the you know, Bluegrass Festival in Meteetsee.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want to look at the Fiends Glossary, go to the freedomfiends.com website. And at the top, there's a link that says Glossary, but I'll link it in today's episode. So it's been a good day, man.
Was a good day. The only other thing I missed that I did want to bring up is this went really goes a lot better with the Der Spiegel article. But there was something in that article that I also wanted to mention. When she's introducing one of the higher ups, one of the guys who's, you know, in charge of some aspect of the drone program, as the writer is setting the scene, I think the writer's a girl, right? Maybe I'm wrong. But the writer, girl or boy, Shmi explains and sets the scene by saying, you know, in the dark wood-paneled Pentagon, there are pictures of various Pentagon directors or defense
department. Oh, there's a painting of a drone.
On a canvas, there's a painting of a Predator drone. So I was looking for an image of that. I can't find it.
But, and, you know, I bet a lot of people who go to art school would love to get that job, being the guy who paints pictures for the military to hang on their walls of their kill machines. Yeah. Wow. Think about it, man, because a lot of people go to art school and become good artists and cannot get work. And I like to praise my friend Denise De La Serta, who was my girlfriend when I was like 14 and then later for a minute when I was like 21. And we've been friends for life, and she lives in South America now. And she's, you know, you'd think she'd be a liberal, but she hates Obama because he's killing people, and I like that. But yeah, she is one of the most amazing painters I've ever seen. She went to art college, got out of art college, moved to New York City, and was starving. And she was driving a taxi to live and not able to sell any of her amazing paintings. And everybody that got into her taxi had a tattoo. So she got a tattoo gun and started tattooing people and became really well known at it, got on the cover of all the tattoo magazines.
Nice.
And actually ran kind of an agorist tattoo shop in Jersey City because it was illegal to have a tattoo shop in Jersey City.
What?
But she had one that was like not even hidden. Like there was a neon sign in the window that said tattoos. And I got a tattoo there from her. And it was pretty cool.
Okay, well, that's badass, and that's a freedom fix, and that's a good note to combat the tyranny of the fact that there is most likely, I mean, there hasn't been a pick to back this up, but that's totally believable, right? That on this Pentagon wall somewhere, there is a canvas with an artistic rendering of a freaking Predator drone, of a robot that's only job is to murder people.
Our founder, yeah. Like where you'd normally have in a corporation, you'd have the Our Founder painting.
Right.
All right, man.
All right. Good fiends. Good fiends.
Worms.
Peace.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.